Good morning. It is good to see everyone here today. My goodness, what good singing that was this morning. You know, I couldn't help but think Jesus came into this world as the lowly Lamb of God. And that's the way those that saw Him, that's the way they saw Him. But you and I are going to see Him the way that that song sung about. He's coming back in power and glory as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. That's right. My goodness, what good singing. Ronnie Price, thank you for the congregational songs, and Mitzi for the choir and our ladies that always plays for us and does such a fantastic job. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad to have you. And incidentally, if you've just joined us by radio, we welcome you into the worship service of what I feel like is the greatest church in all of Hightower, Georgia. And I can say that because we're the only one, but if there was 10 here, I'd still say it. Okay, so we are. We're just glad to have you with us today. And those that are joining us by radio, or if you're listening via internet, we welcome you into our worship service today also. And we just hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you, be a help to you. We realize that there's folks that would love to be in church, whether it's our church or whether it's a church that they have attended for many years, but because of perhaps health issues or varying issues, they're no longer able to attend. So we're just so happy that we are able to reach out to you and come into your home and hopefully be a blessing to you and be a help to you and be an encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord. These ladies are going to play for us. I'm going to ask everyone, if you would please stand, take a moment of time, shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would please. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You have your Bible with you today, or if you do not have one with you, if you look right there in front of you in the pew rack, you can find one. I want to invite you to turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 6, chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. If you can find 1st and 2nd Corinthians, just turn over Galatians and then Ephesians, two books over. If you get to Philippians, you've gone too far. While you're finding that, I want to share with you. I've got my phone with me today. I normally don't do that, but I have something that I want to share. Someone sent to me, and this really speaks to me also. I hope it speaks to all of us something. Title of it is How to Kill a Church. Don't evangelize. Regularly criticize leaders. Attend services infrequently. Refuse to volunteer. Neglect the youth. Complain more than you encourage. Stop taking the Bible seriously. And value personal preference over souls. A lot of truth in that. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't read that to hit nobody in the face with, because it hit me pretty hard. But now let's look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians. This is pretty familiar. We're going to look at verses 10 through a part of verse 14. And it's really the part that we really kind of hurry through, because everybody likes to get to that armor. You know, we want to get over there and talk about the whole armor of God. And it's the armor of God is very important. And it says a lot to you and I, but really we kind of hurry through these few verses and we fail to realize what God is really saying to every one of us in these verses. Standing Strong is a title this morning that I want every one of us to keep in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our mind, standing strong. And I want you to understand something else about this. It's not just an encouragement from Paul. It's a command. It's a command that he gives us. And do you know what? For every one of us, I hope that we can say this: by the power of God, I'm going to live victorious every day. Because a person who is rooted and grounded in the Word of God can live victorious in this life. Now, I never said you wouldn't have. To be victorious, listen, to be victorious in life, to be victorious in anything, whether you're talking about a victory in a sporting event, to be victorious, you had to play the game, right? So to be victorious in life means that you're going to have some battles. So Paul's not telling us that we're never going to have battles in life. But he is telling us how to be victorious in life and how to win or how to stand and be defensive in life and where we should stand. Because listen, folks, there will never come a time. There will never come a time in your life and there will never come a time in my life when Satan will not attack you. Those times will always come along. And here in this book, Paul is going to tell you and I how to stand strong. And how to make our stand, and how you and I should stand today. So look with me as we read these verses out of chapter number 6 of the book of Ephesians, verse number 10 through just a part of verse 14, and listen to what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, a better interpretation of that is schemes. I don't know if anybody uses the word wiles a lot, but the devil schemes, and that's what he is. He's a schemer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Pretty important to stand. If it wouldn't, why would have Paul said stand, stand, stand? He keeps reiterating that thought through that. And I think, like I said, sometimes I know it will be mentioned and I know folks will talk about it, but most of the time we read those verses right there and we just jet on through it because we've got to get over there and talk about that armor. And we may talk about that armor next Sunday. I don't know. But we're not really going to today. That armor is important. And it does. It's a great analogy that Paul gives, because those folks would have really understood everything that he was talking about. And when you would look at that Roman soldier, when those people in that day would look at that Roman soldier, and you could be someone that thinks that you're not so sure about the Bible or anything like that, but history itself would back up the way that Roman soldier dressed. Everything that Paul mentions here in the Bible, you could never look in the Bible at all, and you could go to some book that records history and has some historical account of how a Roman soldier would be dressed out, and you would find everything on that Roman soldier that Paul is speaking about. And here I am doing exactly what I said I was not going to do. I apologize for that, but I just wanted to throw that in there. But I really and truly, I want us to look at what he was saying about standing, because I do feel like that is very important. And to understand also, when you get to this, you've really got to read a little bit back to understand what it is, why he says finally. It's because he's going back to what he's just written and said to the people at Ephesus. And he has reminded them, or he has spoke to them back in chapter number 4. He talks about not being alienated from God. Don't live your life as an alien to God, but rather live your life that you would be renewed and that you'd have a close relationship with God. That's what he talks about. He talks about putting away falsehoods and speaking truth with your neighbors, things of that nature. And he talks about the ability to deal with anger in your life and how you should do that. Talks about dealing with the foolishness of drunkenness. Paul called on wives to submit themselves to the husband and for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and for children to obey their parents and slaves obey masters and so on and so forth. And really it's just talking about a mutual respect. But then he says, finally then, that brings us to where you and I are at today. Finally, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, now think about that with me for just a moment. What is Paul really saying about being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and standing strong? Well, first of all, you've got to realize that Paul never said stand strong in your own power. He's talking about standing strong in the power of God, the one that gives us the ability to stand strong. If anybody that's in Christ, if you're a Christian, and you try to stand within your own strength, you're probably not going to make it. You're going to fall. Paul is saying that you and I should stand in the mighty power of God. And then he's going to make this statement over and over and over again about standing. How many of you here today is getting ready to go watch a grandson or a granddaughter or your children or something like that? Ball season's gearing up, right? Baseball, softball, all of that. And what's the one thing when they're out there on the field, what's the one thing that you want to teach those young players when they're out there standing in that field? What do you tell them? What does that coach always say? Get in a ready position, guys. Girls, get down in a ready position. Be ready. And that's what Paul is saying to the church there. And that's what Paul is saying to you and I today, to get in a ready position, to be able to stand. Get ready. Stand in the power of God. Think about it like this. Most men will understand exactly what I'm saying. And you ladies probably will too, because I've seen some women that could bow up every bit as good as any man could in life. Make a stand, you know. But if you feel threatened in life, if you ever feel threatened by somebody or a situation, you're probably going to come back with that right foot if you're right-handed. And you're going to plant it, because that gets you in a ready position for whatever's coming your way. You stand there toe-to-toe like that right there, somebody can topple you over pretty easy, whether you realize that or not. If you're going to be ready, you get in that stand, you bring that right foot back, and you've got a lot more support and you've got more stability. And I'm not instigating fighting by no means. I'm talking about being defenseful in life when the enemy comes at you and when Satan comes at you. And let me tell you something, you better believe today that the devil is going to come after you, and you better be able to stand. That's what Paul is talking about, being able to make that stand. And also, you've got to know, you and I, we need to understand who the enemy is. Do we really understand? And do we really take serious the power of Satan and his fallen angels? And sometimes in the world that you and I live in today, people just want to think, well, you know what, that devil idea, that's just something that those Christian people have thought up, and it's something that they promote. But I don't know so much about all that. I'm going to tell you something. If you are a Christian and you don't believe in the devil, I don't know whether you really are. Because let me tell you something. Jesus talked to the devil. Jesus talked to the demons. Jesus had an encounter with the devil in the wilderness. Paul writes over and over and over about the devil and his scheming ways and what he'll do to try to entrap you and I and all of us. So you better believe today that Satan is a very real person and a very real force to deal with in your Christian life. He's a reality. He's not something that's just been made up by Christian people, but he's a truthful reality that you and I face daily in our life. I will tell you this, you've heard me talk about demon possession. There's no way that a Christian, a true born-again child of God, you cannot be demon possessed. It just won't happen. There's nothing in the Bible that would even begin to support that idea. But you can fall under the influence of Satan. Any of us can fall under his influence. Those that are possessed are the unsaved. Those that are possessed by the devil is those that have never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells you and I very, very much so in that verse number 10 that we're to be strong and our strength really, truly comes from God. Listen, if you don't stand strong in life, if you don't make that stand, do you know what the devil will come along in your life and in my life and do? He'll come along and Satan will undermine your confidence in God. Do you believe that? The devil will come along and do everything that he can to get you to come to a place of doubt, get you to come to a place where you lost confidence in God. And he will just sap you of all your strength. That's what he'd like to do to every single one of us, the strength that we have in God. Satan don't want you and I to be powerful people. He'd rather us to be weak, vulnerable, and just give in and give up, never make a stand. There's nothing that the devil would like any more in this world that you and I today live in today is for Christian people to just sit around and do absolutely nothing and never make a true stand in life about the truths of God. Nothing would please the devil any more than that. Paul knew that. That's why he tells his people, stand and stand strong. Paul does go on very quickly, though, and he does begin to, I will say this about the armor of God. I'm going to tell you just a few things about it. He goes on verse number 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, listen, so that you can stand. And the thing about, I will tell you this, without going into all the items that he's talking about, the one thing that you know that we miss sometimes too maybe is the fact that Paul said put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say that you could just use half of it. He didn't say that you could just put on the helmet of salvation and you can go through life and you can say, you know what, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm a child of God. I know that I've been saved. Well, good for you. There is nothing no better in life than knowing that you're a child of God and knowing that you've been saved. That's a very good thing. But if you think that that right there and that alone will carry you through life or help you in the battles, you're badly mistaken. He said, put on the whole armor of God. You need to understand what the truths of God are and how to stand. Yes, it's good. Don't take that statement in the wrong way. Salvation is the most important thing in anybody's life, but to be able to stand against the devil, you're going to have to understand the furtherance of everything that Paul speaks of. So you'll never be successful in standing strong with only half of the armor on. You'll never be successful in that way. It takes it all. Listen, I'm going to say something. I don't want to get nobody riled up, but probably I would venture to say everybody in here is aware of coronavirus, right? Everybody, have you got your mask yet? Have you went out and bought a mask? Have you went out and bought a hazmat suit yet, or anything like that? I'm going to tell you, I don't know whether any of you have or not, but there's people that's doing that. In fact, I read a thing this morning on Fox's app, news app, that they're afraid now that there's going to be a shortage for masks in the medical field because so many people are going out and buying them up. Now, my point. And the whole reason, I know some of you are saying, preacher, what in the world? Where in the world are you going with this? Listen to me. Paul said over 2,000 years ago that you need to get ready and that you need to be prepared to make a stand against the devil and to be able to stand strong. And that message is 2,000 years old, and we're still living in a world with a bunch of weak Christians that will not put on the armor of God, and yet you let a virus come along that we've been talking about for 3 months now, and everybody's ready to buy hazmat suits and masks and oxygen tanks and everything else. That's just the truth. Now, am I up here saying that you shouldn't be concerned about it? Absolutely not. I'm not. By all means, be concerned. We should always be concerned about situations and things that's going on. But I'm just saying that there is a fear in the world today about this, and yet nobody, do you not fear the devil? Do you not fear the satanic attacks that can come along to you personally, to the attacks that can come along to you as a family, to the attacks that can come along to the church? Do you not fear those? Are you doing anything about them? Are you more interested in what's going on and what everybody's afraid of today? This message, what I'm preaching, is a message that's 2,000 years old. That message is 3 months old. And people are giving more heed to it than they ever give to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's a sad thing. It's a sad state that we're in today. When people get so tore up about something like this, and yet we've got the Word of God that's been telling us for 2,000 years now, put on the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you could stand strong, that you could stand firm in that day. Paul calls it in that verse, he said that we had have on this whole armor that we'd be able to stand against those schemes of the devil. Against the schemes of the devil. You don't think the devil is scheming and conniving and works in that very way? Yes, he does. And he'll work that way in your personal life. He'll work that way in your family life. And he'll work that way in the life of a church. He'll scheme his way in. Listen, what else Paul said? He said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Do you know what our battles in life, our fights in life should not be with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul said our battle is not with flesh and blood. But somebody said, well, wait just a minute, preacher. Oh, so-and-so said something about me and it really hurt my little feelings. Ah, now somebody's thinking, well, preacher, you're on my side, aren't you? You understand. You got your feelings hurt. If I got bent out of shape every time my feelings got hurt being a pastor, I wouldn't last it long. Let me tell you something. The person that hurt your feelings, it's a scheme of the devil. You think about it. And listen, if you can't be the forgiving Christian that you're supposed to be, then you're just as guilty in the scheme of things as the person that said whatever it was that hurt your feelings. All of that, folks. Paul said our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, we've got bigger battles to fight than that right there. We ought to be the people that's getting along with one another, that's loving one another, that cares about one another. When somebody's down, you're there to help them. And when somebody has hurt your feelings, my goodness, just get over it. It's about all I can tell you sometimes. be forgiven, folks. Accept the forgiveness. But I would tell you this, if you're the person that has instigated, be big enough to go tell somebody you're sorry. I've done that in my life. And you'll have to too, somewhere along the way, if you want to stand strong like he's talking about. You want to be everything that God wants you to be. You'll do it somewhere along the way. He said our battles wasn't with flesh and blood. But he said it's all of this. These principalities, these rulers of the dark world. Listen, really and truly, do you know why I think sometimes we war with one another sometimes? Because we can see one another. Everything that he is talking about right here, it's an unseen battle that you and I face. It's an unseen battle. Now, I realize sometimes there might be some things that we get a glimpse of or see this or that. But for the most part, the battle that you and I face is an unseen battle. It's an unseen warfare that comes after us from Satan. So Paul tells us that in that verse 12 that it's definitely is a spiritual battle that you and I face in life. It's ultimately not objects or people, but it's a spiritual battle that you and I and the devil will use every tactic that he can. But our opponent, really, in other people, it's sin. That's what we deal with and have to fight against in our life. Wherefore, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God. See, there again, he says it again, put on the whole armor of God. That's twice he said that. So remember what I said, you couldn't just put on half of it or part of it and do any good. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Half equipped will just never work. And then finally, verse number 14, he just says again, stand. Stand. Stand therefore. Stand in the power of his might. There's a war going on, folks. Whether you realize it or not. I'm not talking about the wars like you and I hear of on the news or read about in papers and things like that. It's a war that's going on that's a spiritual war that's battling for the souls of humanity, for the souls of mankind. Listen, this warfare, this battle that's going on, Satan is doing everything he can to get all that he can to keep everybody that he possibly can out of heaven someday. That's the kind of battle he's waging. He's wanting to do everything he can to draw people away from God. Is he drawing you away from God? Where are you at with God today? Where are you standing? Are you able? Can you say as a person, I can make that stand because I'm in Christ. I can make that stand. Are you out there listening today by radio, by internet, or sitting in here in this congregation today? And if the truth be known, you'd have to say, preacher, I absolutely cannot stand because I don't have the power of God in my life to make that stand. I'm not a child of God. And therefore, because of that, I can never make a true stand. I can never stand and stand firm because I'm simply not a child of God. The only way you can stand in the power of His might is to be a child of God. And listen, if you're not standing in the power of His might, then certainly you're standing in the power of Satan's might. You cannot divide it out and get a whole bunch of different ways and everything like that. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. You're either lost or you're saved. That's the bottom line, folks. Not a bunch of other ideas and thoughts and everything. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. What are you today? Are you a child of God? Have you been saved by the grace of God? If you're not, if you've not had that, if you've not experienced that in your life, then surely today you'd want to come. Make your way to this altar. Make your way to an altar there in your home. Wherever you are, bow your head and just submit yourself and submit your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and trust Him as Lord and Savior. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. Can you be saved anywhere? Have you got to be in a church? Absolutely not. Old Zacchaeus got saved somewhere between the tree limb and the ground. That's what D.L. Moody said. I think that's the truth. Somewhere between a tree limb and the ground. So if you got to be in an altar of a church somewhere, absolutely not. Is it a good place to be? Absolutely it is. But He'll save you wherever you're at. Wherever you'll reach out to Him, call out His name. Trust Him as Lord and Savior in your life. We're fighting a battle, folks. You're fighting a battle some of you right now, you're fighting a battle in your life as to whether you're going to come to Christ or you're going to say no to Him. Do you remember when you yourself was lost? Was there not a raging battle and war going on right there? There was, because there was that tug. Either I go towards Christ or I stay here with the devil. Either I make my way to a way of salvation in the cross or I stay over here on the other side of it. There was a battle taking place in your heart. There was a battle taking place in your soul, and you had to ultimately do something. Today, is that battle going on in somebody's life today? Whether you're in our building or whether you are listening to us somewhere all over the North Georgia mountains, I don't know how far away you may be from our church and listening, but that battle is just as real in your home as it is in a church somewhere. But Jesus has won the victory. All He's telling you and I as Christians to do is to make you stand. He's the one that's won the battle. He's the one that's given us the victory. It's like the old song says. That song nowhere in it says victory in Ronnie. It don't say victory in High Tower Church. It don't say victory in none of your names. You could call every name that's here today, and none of them will give you the victory. But if you say there's victory in Jesus, that's where the victory lies. Solely in Jesus and nothing else, my friend. Nothing else. What about you? Are you here today? You've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior in your personal life? Do you feel that need? While we stand together, and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Listen. I still believe that there's absolutely nothing wrong with inviting lost people to an altar. Absolutely nothing. Nobody here is going to embarrass you. Nobody here is going to try to bring any kind of shame on you or anything like that. Because 90%+ of us that's in here in this building today, I would venture to say, came that very way. So there's nothing wrong with walking down the aisle. Billy Graham said one time, he said, you look at all the scriptures and you look at those people that come to Christ. He said there was always a moving of those people. There was always that person that came forward. That person that Christ called out came to Him. And that's all He wants you to do today. Wherever you're at, if you're on the very last bench of this church, middle ways, right here at the very front, would you step out and say, you know what, today's the day that I'm going to find my strength in Christ. I'm going to come to Him in a real relationship, and I'm going to be a strong Christian, and I'm going to make my stand. You and I, as Christian people, what are we doing in the world today? Are we making our stand? Or are we just standing so toe to toe that you can be pushed over, blowed over just about by anything? Or are you really making a stand in the power of His might? While we sing this hymn of invitation, if you're here and you have never been saved, and you know that, you're the one, look, you ain't got to look at mom and dad and ask them if you're saved or lost. Mom and dad don't really know. They might have a good idea, you know. But as far as just 100%, you do, you know. You yourself, you truly know. And if you know you're not in Christ, then you need to come while they sing this hymn of invitation this morning.